Picture this. You walk into any racially diverse high school cafeteria in America. What do you see? Tables naturally divided along racial lines, with Black students sitting together in their own groups. This simple observation, the inspiration behind Beverly Daniel Tatum's groundbreaking work, opens a window into profound questions about racial identity in America. Despite decades of integration efforts since Brown v. Board of Education, our social spaces remain stubbornly segregated. This pattern reflects a deeper reality. America's neighborhoods and schools are actually more segregated today than in 1980, with nearly 75% of Black students attending majority-minority schools. In cities like Chicago and Detroit, this figure exceeds 80%. The cafeteria is just a microcosm of our larger society, a society where racial division persists despite our increasing diversity. Segregation in America is structural, not accidental. Historical policies like redlining, restrictive covenants, and discriminatory lending created housing patterns that persist today. Black homebuyers see 17% fewer properties than equally qualified white buyers, while Black and Latinx borrowers face twice the denial rate for conventional mortgages. This separation affects multiple systems. Segregated schools receive $23 billion less funding annually than predominantly white schools. Minority neighborhoods have 50% fewer primary care physicians per capita. The 2008 economic collapse disproportionately affected Black and Latinx families, contributing to a racial wealth gap where the median white family holds nearly 10 times the wealth of the median Black family. Mass incarceration represents perhaps the most severe impact, with more Black adults under correctional control today than were enslaved in 1850. One in three Black men faces imprisonment in their lifetime, devastating communities through lost income, broken relationships, and diminished opportunities. Ultimately, segregation determines who accesses resources, opportunities, and justice. "I don't see color" has become a common refrain among well-meaning Americans. Yet this colorblind ideology ignores our deeply color-conscious society. While only 10 to 15% of Americans openly express prejudice against Black Americans, Harvard professor Mazarin Banaji's research reveals that automatic white preference affects our behavior even when we hold egalitarian views. These unconscious biases have real consequences. In Ferguson, Missouri, African Americans comprised 67% of the population, but accounted for 85% of traffic stops and 92% of related arrests. Black drivers faced excessive fines, $302 for manner of walking, $427 for peace disturbance, creating cycles of poverty and criminalization. Despite searching Black drivers more frequently, police found contraband less often. What we've created isn't a colorblind society, but what Tatum calls a color-silent one. While 94% of millennials report witnessing bias, only 20% feel comfortable discussing it. This silence doesn't eliminate racism. It drives it underground, where it continues to shape institutions while remaining difficult to address. True progress requires developing a deeper understanding of how racial identity affects our lives. Why do Black students sit together in the cafeteria? The answer lies in adolescent identity development. Around 6th or 7th grade, children begin exploring questions like, who am I ethnically and/or racially? What does it mean to be Black? This exploration intensifies when young people confront racism's personal impact. Black adolescents frequently encounter racial incidents, from explicit slurs to microaggressions, like teachers steering only Black students toward community college. When these experiences occur, they naturally turn to peers who understand, rather than white friends who might dismiss their feelings. In racially mixed schools where advanced classes are predominantly white, while remedial classes are disproportionately Black, academic success can become racialized, with high-achieving Black students accused of acting white. This phenomenon doesn't occur in predominantly Black schools. The cafeteria table provides a safe space where Black students can process experiences together, affirm each other's realities, and develop positive racial identities, Rather than a problem, this clustering reflects a healthy response to identity development in a society that often devalues Blackness. When asked about ethnicity, many white people hesitate or respond like one young woman who called herself just normal, revealing how whiteness functions as an unexamined norm. While people of color answer questions about ethnic background readily, whites frequently view racial identity as something only others possess. This blindness to one's own racial identity impedes understanding racism. White people often see themselves as individuals rather than members of a racial group, aligning with American ideologies of individualism and meritocracy. Recognizing racism as a system that benefits whites threatens both societal beliefs and personal achievement narratives. As white people deepen their understanding of institutional racism, they typically progress from denial to guilt to mature comprehension. The challenge becomes finding a positive self-definition of whiteness not rooted in shame. Groups like White Women Against Racism and Showing Up for Racial Justice provide spaces to forge anti-racist identities. White identity development isn't about guilt, but responsibility. It means recognizing unearned advantages, using privilege to challenge systemic racism, and working in solidarity rather than helping those targeted by racism, essential for creating genuine cross-racial understanding. America's multiracial population has grown dramatically, from 1% of births in 1970 to 10% by 2013. This demographic shift challenges rigid racial categories, particularly the one-drop rule that historically classified anyone with African ancestry as Black, a rule unique to American society and applied only to Black people. Multiracial individuals frequently face the question, "What are you?" due to their racially ambiguous appearance, reflecting society's persistent need to racially classify people in both casual and professional settings. Contrary to stereotypes suggesting mixed-race individuals are troubled, research by Anna Marie Kaus found that biracial adolescents were remarkably similar to other children of color in psychological adjustment. Both groups showed normal psychological health when provided supportive environments. Parents play a crucial role by helping biracial children interpret race-related experiences. Many biracial adults wish their parents had better prepared them for discrimination and questions about their background. Effective strategies include openly discussing race, celebrating multiple cultural heritages, and providing tools to respond to challenging situations. We need meaningful dialogue about racism. Conversations that raise consciousness and lead to effective action. Yet fear immobilizes us. White people fear saying the wrong thing or breaking racial solidarity, while people of color fear the emotional toll of repeatedly explaining racism. Society pays a heavy price for silence. For people of color, remaining silent can be a necessary coping strategy, but often leads to self-blame. For white people, cultural silencing means disconnecting from racial experiences, often beginning when parents hush children's innocent racial observations. When overwhelmed by racism's pervasiveness, focusing on our personal sphere of influence helps. Everyone affects some lives as parents, teachers, community members, or professionals. We can apply our strengths where we have impact. Programs like the Michigan Community Scholars Program demonstrate what's possible through structured cross-cultural conversations, developing empathy and motivation for social change. The cafeteria question isn't just about where students sit. It's about creating a society where everyone belongs, where racial identity is acknowledged without determining destiny. Through honest dialogue and committed action, we can create a future where everyone has a seat at the table of opportunity and justice.